W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The first challenge has been filed to the new Texas law making entering the state illegally a crime under state law, giving police and judges powers to enforce it. The ACLU and the Texas Civil Rights Project suing. Utility crews restoring electricity after the storm, too late for the owner of a restaurant in the coastal community of Scituate, Massachusetts. The owner, Mary Ellen Stoddard, came in this morning and found a lot of food spoiled.
This is a tough week for this to happen. It's tough anytime it happens, but Christmas week is brutal because, you know, it's a very busy time of year.
Google agrees to pay $700 million and make other concessions to settle allegations that it had been stifling competition against its Android app store. The deal with states was in September. The settlement's details just out. 40 trucks carrying not aid but commercial food and other items crossed into the Gaza Strip today, says a Palestinian border crossing spokesman to ABC News. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Addressing the cost and scarcity of child care in Wisconsin is one of the top priorities for the state legislature next year. Former Senate Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard says the Republican bill before lawmakers does not do enough.
They're nibbling around the edges. They're not decreasing the cost so that it's more affordable to people. I'm not saying it's a bad bill, but it's not the solution to what it is that Wisconsin needs.
Agard speaking with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Four brothers and sisters are dead after investigators say a drunk driver drove the wrong way on Highway 10 near Wauwega Saturday night and hit an SUV head-on. The victims were the children of a Lutheran pastor and his wife from Waupaca. A Nina man faces vehicular homicide charges. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A dog that had to be rescued from the icy waters of Lake Superior last week now needs surgery. The owners of the dog have reported he had broken his knee after jumping into Lake Superior. The dog was reportedly fighting 8-foot waves in extremely cold water, unable to return to dry land on its own. The Duluth Fire Department managed to save the dog with ice rescue suits and an inflatable raft. The owners of the dog are turning to the community for help once again, having set up a GoFundMe to help pay for the surgery. The Kenosha Township and Rice Lake Fire Departments have received new life-saving tools. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth Masonic Lodge and Ionic Lodge 186 in Duluth led the charge in raising hundreds of dollars over the summer for a one-time-use device that can spray out a chemical to contain fires. The device can reportedly help firefighters save time when they arrive on the scene, allowing fire trucks more time to arrive to put the fire out for good. The departments were chosen at random. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Bucks take on the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have two more home games coming up. They host the San Antonio Spurs tonight and then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a 4-game winning streak. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing another player to the transfer portal. Defensive lineman Rodus Johnson leaving Wisconsin after 4 years. Johnson says he received his diploma over the weekend, and after playing for two different coaches, it's time for a change. NFL, Matt LaFleur says he's not going to fire Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry. LaFleur says the players and coaches did a poor job of communicating during the game on formations and assignments in their loss to the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
When you're having basic communication problems, you're supposed to be in a certain coverage or a certain rotation, and we're not getting that communication. That's what's so disappointing to me, is the fact that it was poor communication, and it always starts with us.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another bright day ahead with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures flirting with 30 degrees. Winds are still whipping. However, today it's out of the south. Gusts at 25 miles per hour are creating crisp wind chills early. But because of those winds, we'll see warmer temperatures the rest of the week. Right now, it's 30.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And I'll tell you what, some new information came out on Clarence Thomas that puts in perspective, when I talk about the tarantulas, the bribed tarantulas, this is some background I had not been aware of before. It turns out that in January of 2000, 23 years ago, Clarence Thomas was on a plane flight home from a conservative conference. Now put aside for a moment that, in my opinion, federal judges with lifetime appointments shouldn't be going to issue conferences like that with conservatives or liberals or anybody else. But he's on a plane coming home to DC from a conservative conference. And he happened to be sitting next to a guy named Representative Cliff Stearns of Florida. Stearns was a conservative Republican congressman. Clarence Thomas started to complain that, quote, if he didn't get a raise, he or more justices would leave the court soon. That word got around conservative circles. They were very, very afraid that Clarence Thomas and Alito, because they were the two most extreme conservatives, would leave. So Stern said to him, quote, it is worth a lot to have the Constitution properly interpreted. The term properly interpreted is a code word on the far right that means originalist. It means if we want an objective, a legislative objective, and we can't get it through the legislature, the Congress, the court will dictate it, even though they're not supposed to, and say that's the original meaning of the Constitution. But when it comes to anything that conservatives don't want, like an interpretation of the 14th Amendment on the insurrection, barring people from office and that kind of thing, they get rid of the originalist theory and they interpret it. So it's a nose of wax. If it's something, it's result driven. If they want a result and they can only get it through an originalist interpretation of the Constitution, that's what Clarence Thomas does, and Alito. If, on the other hand, they want a result, an originalist interpretation of the Constitution would go against them, they start interpreting. It's a totally a nose of wax, and what it means is the U.S. Supreme Court has set itself up as a super Congress, but it can't be overturned. The Supreme Court says anyway, and it has for 200 years, that it can overturn acts of Congress, declare them unenforceable, null and void. And the same with the president, the executive. But they boast that they are the only branch of government that the other two can't overturn. And when you have dishonest people who have gotten money, taken money, who are there for a purpose, That's one of the crises that our country is facing right now. So let me give you an example. Stearns went back and he tried to pass legislation that would raise the salaries of the U.S. Supreme Court, but no other judge. Right now, the judges all rise and fall with raises. Now the Supreme Court makes more money. But remember something, the Speaker of the House makes $225,000 a year. The president makes $400,000 a year. I don't know if they raised it, maybe he's up to six. But the point is that if you are in Washington, D.C., and you want to rent an apartment in Georgetown or somewhere, and you're making, all right, $225,000 a year, it's a lot of money in the abstract. It's not a lot of money in Washington, D.C., if you're having to pay $5,000 a month in rent. So, and you have a couple of kids in college and you have to pay tuition. So the complaint about judicial salary is legitimate, but the fact of the matter is that the way it was resolved is illegitimate. Stearns tried to get this legislation passed. It got pushback. Everybody in the Democratic Party realized he was doing it to try to keep his clutches on Thomas and Alito. And people in the Republican Party didn't necessarily, some of them, didn't want to raise any wages. So here's what they did. There is a donor network in the Republican Party that communicates. Harlan Crow is one of them. There are a number of others. And they get on the phone. And even if they're not supposed to coordinate contributions to campaigns, they communicate very effectively anyway. And suddenly what happened was Ginny Thomas was given a six-figure job, over $100,000, to work for the Heritage Foundation. And to this day, I don't know what she did. I assume she had to go to an office. This was pre-COVID and do some things. But it's between the employer and the employee what kind of services you provide and when you have to be there and all that. In this particular case, the employee was the wife of the justice who had complained on an airplane that he might have to leave the court because he wasn't making enough money. Then they took care of his mom. They bought her house and then they fixed it up, put on a roof, fence and so forth, and she can stay there rent free. So she got the money for the house and stays there rent free. One of his relatives, I believe a nephew or a great nephew, whom Clarence Thomas has raised as a son, and I applaud him for that, but they paid his tuition in a boarding school. Boarding school tuitions, even back then, could go and room and board $50,000. Now it's more like $70,000 a year. So, and then there were these vacations, these fancy vacations, and in effect, they subsidized his salary. But in subsidizing his salary, they're subsidizing the salary of somebody who was the swing vote 5-4 on Citizens United, on Dobbs, at least the part of Dobbs that got rid of Roe v. Wade, on Shelby County. Shelby County got rid of most of the Voting Rights Act, so Black people in the South now have a much harder time voting, and they're in racially gerrymandered districts. That's what they got for very little money, a six-figure salary for the wife, some vacations, a house and a roof and a fence, and boarding school tuition. That's what they got. Now, you could say in a perfect world that there's a remedy to this. There is. It's called impeachment, or it's called criminal prosecution for bribery. Impeachment in the House requires a majority, and as long as the Republicans are the majority, he ain't getting impeached. But if he ever does get impeached, it takes two-thirds in the Senate to convict him and throw him out. Two-thirds of 100 is 67. You have to have just over two-thirds. And we have 51 Democratic votes. Even assuming that every one of them voted to convict him, you'd need 16 other votes. That isn't happening. You can't even get 9 votes to override Tommy Tuberville and promote our generals and admirals when we are involved in two war zones. The Republican Party has taken actions and done things to deliberately injure the United States because they think that it will diminish Biden and get them back into power. And that's what's going on. So right now, the alternative, of course, would be a bribery prosecution. Merrick Garland could convene a grand jury and subpoena Clarence Thomas. He wouldn't show. He'd have a right as a potential defendant not to show. They'd subpoena records, not just the House subpoenaing them, because Harlan Crow and these people have blown that off. This fellow, Leonard Leo, you know, the guy that got the $1 billion-plus endowment as a gift to, he's the Federalist Society guy to do pick conservative judges. They are assaulting the federal judiciary with right-wing judges who are doing what Clarence Thomas does, except that they're not getting the kind of money he's got. This is nakedly criminal, nakedly criminal. He also didn't disclose some of this money that he got on various disclosure forms. And there's a couple of other Supreme Court justices that got money too. So what do we do with this? In a democracy, the fail-safe measures are impeachment, conviction, or criminal prosecution. It's politically impossible to impeach and convict him right now. And in terms of criminal prosecution, Merrick Garland took a year to even appoint Jack Smith, which resulted in delays in the trial dates and had an impact, although he did finally appoint him. But when it comes to Clarence Thomas, there's no way, in my judgment, that Merrick Garland is going to indict Clarence Thomas. And it would go in front of a jury and we'd see what would happen. But the point to understand is that there is no check and balance on the Supreme Court. There's a check and balance on the executive, which is the president. There's a check and balance on the Congress. And that check and balance in both cases is the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court itself has none. And they go, oh, no, there is this impeachment and prosecution. Yeah, sure. These are extreme remedies. And it's obvious to me, and I think obvious to anybody, that there's no way that they are going to be invoked. So what do we do? What do we do? With Citizens United, you have multi-millions of dollars flowing in from unknown sources. It is still against the law that you can't contribute money if you're a foreigner. So if somebody's not an American citizen, it's a criminal offense to contribute to an election in this country. I don't know of many prosecutions on that. And when you don't have to disclose who these people are, how do you find out? But that is happening right now. On the other hand, the Democrats have been successful in raising a lot of money too, but it's reduced all these races to simply, you know, negative, in many cases, false attack ads, and it's really corrupted our politics, really, really corrupted our politics. Coming up, Trump is attacking other Republicans, but he made a mistake in attacking one congressman whom I will describe. I see when the lines do not hang up, I will get back to you very shortly. Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZA.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go into the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Bob?
Yeah. The first commandment, I am the Lord, my God, thy God, that thou shalt not put any false gods before me. But what about Orange Jesus? I mean, I believe in separation of church and state. In fact, I believe in separation of Trump and state. I believe in the separation of Orange Jesus and state. Don't those fundamentalists read the apocalypse about all the false prophets that are going to come along over the years and everything? How can they be so asleep at the switch? What could possibly go wrong? The first person with no military or political experience in the White House ever. What could possibly have gone wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah, let me say a few things. I know it's a good call, funny line. I do want to say something, this, though, and I maybe differ from a lot of people. There's no question that we all believe in the separation of church and state. And to me, that also means I have tremendous respect for all religions. I don't attach any political persuasion to any particular religion. So I wouldn't put it in terms of, one religious belief that follows him. I think there are a lot of people, but not anywhere near a majority. The vast majority followed the Democratic Party. I mean, Joe Biden beat him by 7 million popular votes and 30 or more electoral votes. But I do not think it is a religious matter. Everybody has a faith journey, and I respect them all. I think it's a matter of judgment. And I couldn't agree more that Donald Trump is a danger, frankly, to this country. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, I think a bigger danger even than Trump himself is the current Supreme Court. They have basically, they have overturned precedents of over 50 years. They have entirely ignored the charge from Congress to, for instance, the Environmental Protection Agency to be appropriately scientifically designed to regulate certain items in our environment. And they've also, in my opinion, basically ignored the Constitution and the separation of powers in the Constitution. They have become an oligarchy of six. Five if you occasionally count Roberts, you know, switching back and forth. But that, and that's definitely not what the Supreme Court was intended to become. They're arbiters of every single law that exists, and they have the ability, and again, I don't think this is the intent of the Constitution writers. They have apparently somehow over a century or two gotten the power to overturn any bloody thing they darn well feel like. And when you put people with a very clear political or financial interest in the position, or for that matter, religion. I mean, if you look at Barrett, who stated that the purpose of a legal career is to expand the kingdom of God, excuse me, what's she doing on the court? I mean, these guys are out of control, and something's got to be done. You're more of a lawyer than I am, but I have a question. Do you think it's possible, for example, to either expand the court or to I realize you can't get rid of the justices that are there because they're lifetime appointments. Can you turn those appointments, or can you say, okay, you can stay on the court, but you are justice emeritus with no power to vote? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, those are some very good and excellent comments. So let me say a few things. Yes, Biden could appoint, but it would require the Congress to agree to it. And quite frankly, it'd be filibustered in the Senate, and in the House with Mike Johnson as Speaker, it wouldn't pass. But if we had the ability, if we had a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate and had some moderate Republicans, you could pack the court. And Franklin Roosevelt in 1935 threatened that because they were about to hold Social Security unconstitutional. That's right, Social Security. They'd held the New Deal unconstitutional, and Roosevelt was fed up, and he said, I'm packing the court. And one guy chickened out, and it went 5-4 the other way. But he had such a vast majority in the House and the Senate, he could get away with it. Biden has worked miracles, quite frankly, miracles, to pass the CHIPS Act, hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, everything he's done. It's his skill, quite frankly. I haven't been in the Senate 50 years. But that said, you can't remove them. You can remove them by impeachment, conviction, or criminal prosecution. But for the reasons I've said, that's going to be very, very politically difficult. You can also, you can't, even Congress could not pass something they're the arbiters of their own constitutionality. If Congress passed something that said you're emeritus, you'll get a paycheck, but you can't do anything, they would say that's unconstitutional. So it's a chicken and the egg. And I think ultimately, I remember the words of Alexander Hamilton. And remember, he's one of the greatest Americans. He was one of the authors of the Federalist Papers. He was intimately involved in drafting the Constitution. He was also George Washington's chief of staff and in the Revolutionary War. This guy was amazing. But somebody came up to him and posed the exact question you're posing and I'm posing. And they said, Mr. Hamilton, what happens if the Supreme Court you're putting up goes rogue? They used a different word, but, you know, acts illegally and starts trying to run the government. And you know what Hamilton's response was? He said, the Supreme Court doesn't have an army. The Supreme Court doesn't have an army. But the sneaky thing they're doing is kicking it back to the states. Like Dobbs are saying, oh, we're not saying we're against abortion. It's up to the states. We're voting rights. We're not saying we're not for voting rights, but it's up to the states. If they ever entered an opinion that ordered people to do something, they would be disobeyed because they're six tarantulas. But they sneakily are doing it in a construct in a way that you can't, quote, disobey them because they're just delegating it to states. And the states, and then you're fighting your own state by state. On things like the EPA, they're saying environmental, they're saying you can't say do this, so people are putting poison in the water. And they don't need an army because the people that are putting the poison in the water have plenty of money and have their own army. So this is a real problem, and ultimately it only comes about if the people in this country elect much larger majorities of Democrats who do impeach and convict these people, or an attorney general more like a Bobby Kennedy than a Merrick Garland, who gets up there and brings a couple of them to justice in a grand jury. Coming up, the new Giuliani suit. There's another lawsuit now against Rudy Giuliani. I'll give you the background. We'll also talk about who Trump is attacking in the Republican Party.
From Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's official. A deal to trade University of Wisconsin employee pay raises for curtailed diversity efforts gets final approval from a panel of state lawmakers this afternoon. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
What Martin Luther King called a colorblind society, that is exactly where we want to go. Unfortunately, my Democratic colleagues continue to be obsessed with race and division and exclusion, and that's a shame.
Voss promises more scrutiny of diversity efforts at other state agencies. A local wildlife official says bird flu is likely to blame for killing 34 geese near Green Bay. Lab results are expected tomorrow. Meanwhile, an outbreak of canine distemper has killed about a dozen raccoons in the Ryo area north of Madison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A dog that had to be rescued from the icy waters of Lake Superior last week now needs surgery. The owners of the dog have reported he had broken his knee after jumping into Lake Superior. The dog was reportedly fighting 8-foot waves in extremely cold water, unable to return to dry land on its own. The Duluth Fire Department managed to save the dog with ice rescue suits and an inflatable raft. The owners of the dog are turning to the community for help once again, having set up a GoFundMe to help pay for the surgery. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced a new grant program to reduce PFAS and manganese contamination levels in small public water systems. The DNR will begin accepting applications for the grants on January 16th. The funding for the grant program will come through the bipartisan infrastructure law to help water systems that service non-residential groups of at least 25 people for more than 6 months annually. That would include things like schools, daycare centers, and non-government water systems. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Bucks take on the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have 2 more home games coming up. They host the San Antonio Spurs tonight and then the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Milwaukee with a 4-game winning streak. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing another player to the transfer portal. Defensive lineman Rodus Johnson leaving Wisconsin after 4 years. Johnson says he received his diploma over the weekend, and after playing for 2 different coaches, it's time for a change. NFL, Matt LaFleur says he's not going to fire Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry. LaFleur says the players and coaches did a poor job of communicating during the game on formations and assignments in their loss to the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
When you're having basic communication problems, you're supposed to be in a certain coverage or a certain rotation, and we're not getting that communication. That's what's so disappointing to me, is the fact that it was poor communication, and it always starts with us.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another bright day ahead with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures flirting with 30 degrees. Winds are still whipping. However, today it's out of the south. Gusts at 25 miles per hour are creating crisp wind chills early, but because of those winds, we'll see warmer temperatures the rest of the week. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, you know, Donald Trump is so full of himself, he's beginning to attack people in the Republican Party who themselves are powerful. And individually, they're not more powerful than he is, but in the aggregate, they may be. He's maybe making a big mistake, and I'm glad to see him do it. His most recent attack was against Congressman Chip Roy of Texas. And he doesn't like Chip Roy because Chip Roy has endorsed DeSantis. And Chip Roy, back in after the 2020 election, voted to certify the election. He didn't go with the election deniers. And also, on January 6, he blasted Trump, saying that what Trump did was inexcusable, much like Kevin McCarthy did. But unlike Kevin McCarthy, Chip Roy didn't go down to Mar-a-Lago and apologize. Now, Chip Roy is not a guy that I like. He's very right-wing. He's one of these guys that will vacate the chair at the drop of a hat. He sort of looks like Lenin. Take a good look at him. You know, it kind of, it's a startling look, not a good look. But in any event, Chip Roy has now been attacked by Trump, who just urged that there be a primary in the Republican Party in Texas to throw out Chip Roy. Problem for that is December 11 was the deadline for anybody who wanted to run in a primary to register, and today is not December 11. It's a week, more than a week later. The fact is, the Twitterverse, i.e. the X-verse, has lighted up. And Trump put a post on, this may have been on his own social media post, but said, quote, "Has any smart, energetic Republican in Texas decided to run the primary against Rhino Representative Chip Roy? Let me know. He is beatable." Now, you know, Trump calls everybody rhinos. That term doesn't have any meaning anymore. But, you know, the traditional Republicans would be Eisenhower, you know, George W., H.W. Bush, somebody like Lee Dreyfus, Tommy Thompson, that kind of thing. And Mel Laird, maybe. He would call them rhinos now. He himself is a Republican in name only. He was a Democrat until he ran for president. And he doesn't care about any political ideology. But he's latched onto this rhino business because he's driven a wedge between the traditional Republican Party and his group, the Freedom Caucus, the MAGA people, and all that. But Twitter lighted up. X lighted up. And he may have made a mistake. Here's an example of some of the things they said immediately. Quote, "Trump puts himself before country. He's all ego," is another one. "That's always been the case. He doesn't care about anyone but himself." Another one came up and says, "He's out of his mind. Trump is the godfather and ordered a hit on Chip Roy for personal vendetta reasons. Unbelievable." You know, if that kind of sentiment, and there's quite a bit of it on social media as a result of his going after Roy as a rhino, if that kind of sentiment catches on, that's not good for Trump. Because it can be very slow. It can be very, very slow in developing. But when it develops, it's irreversible. And his shooting his mouth off against any Republican, you know, and he against Brian Kemp in Georgia, and Kemp stood up to him and didn't hurt him, and Sununu in New Hampshire and all that. At some point, you're going to have people who are personally threatened, whose feelings are hurt, their vanities hurt. And they are they're going to take action against him. And this may be his undoing, not just Chip Roy, but I'm talking about in the aggregate. All right, let's go down to Georgia and Washington, D.C. Shane Moss and Ruby Freeman, you know, that they had a $148 million verdict against Rudy Giuliani for defamation and for destroying them. Destroying their business, destroying their lives, destroying their home, destroying their ability to appear in public. They're afraid to appear in public. They have gotten nothing but death threats, the N-word, horrible, horrible things. And these were just women who were doing their job, employees, election employees. Shea Moss, going back to 2012 or 13, was an election employee in Georgia. And she actually was made supervisor of mail-in ballots, and her mom, Ruby Freeman, picked up a few bucks every time there's an election and staffed it, comparing signatures and absentee ballots. Of course, Rudy Giuliani and Trump and a lot of people lied and said that there was video of them dumping rigged ballots and all that, and that was false. Jury came back, said it was false. 148 million bones. That's a lot of money, a lot of money. And Giuliani undoubtedly doesn't have it, but it'll strip him clean, strip him cleaner than a Thanksgiving turkey. Well, he, before the trial was over, was outside, and the media came up to him and asked him for an interview. How's it going? Anybody in his right mind who's involved in litigation, now this is civil litigation, not criminal, but still, you don't say anything. You just give a wave and smile, say thank you, and not now or something, but not this guy. He went into the whole defamation dialogue again. He said, well, they did rig votes, and I can prove it, and I'm going to prove it. His lawyer is mortified, not because he has any sense of shame, but because this is a really good way to lose a case big when you have a client like that that shoots his mouth off. So anyway, he goes back in. Well, Beryl Howell, a judge there, said that would support another defamation claim. And normally judges don't comment like that. It was a true statement. The new claim presumably won't be assigned to her, but that's what happened. Lo and behold, they filed, Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman just filed another claim against him. But this one's interesting. This one's interesting. And it's not for $148 million, because theoretically it's like E. Jean Carroll. E. Jean Carroll said, I've been raped by Donald Trump. He took me into a dressing room and pulled up my skirt and put his hands down between my legs and did this and that. He, on television in a CNN interview after the verdict came in, $5 million against him, repeated it. Said, I didn't rape her. She's lying. She sued him again. That trial is coming up January 16. It's coming up in about a month. And she may hit the bank again. But when you've hit the bank for $148 million, what good does it get you to get another $148? Because that's, you know, $296, and he can't even come up with $10 million probably. So what they did is ask for an injunction. And it's very interesting. It's an injunction that he not continue to say that they had in any respect did anything wrong with the votes, rigging it or anything else. Now, the thing about that, and the one other piece of relief is besides the injunction, is that there be guardrails put up against the assets he has, so it prevents him from squandering or cheating or sending them to Europe or all that kind of stuff. Because theoretically, the jury verdict came back, but that's not self-executing. The judge has to, in effect, enter it, and then they can appeal and blah, blah, blah. Do you have to put a bond up on appeal? Normally, how's he going to get a bond for $148 million? He's not. Well, they're going right to the jugular. They're going freeze him right now so he can't do it. Sort of like Trump up in New York, although with Trump, he was told to do certain things he violated anyway. But in this one, the injunction is what I want to talk about. It's very smart, but I have real questions about how it can be enforced. If a court enters an injunction, and even if an appeal is taken and it's overturned, while the injunction is in place, it must be obeyed. Even what was deemed to be an unlawful injunction or one that shouldn't have been entered. You don't get to freelance and hope that you win on appeal. There's a famous case involving a Providence, Rhode Island newspaper that violated an injunction pending appeal. The appeal was overturned the injunction, but in the meantime, they were sanctioned for violating it, even though it was a bad injunction. But injunctions against speech are very, very difficult, and they do implicate the First Amendment. There is in the law a distinction between commercial speech and other kind of speech. Speech involving religion or politics, normally there are no prior restraints. That's the term of art. You can't in advance tell anybody what to say or not. If they commit libel, you can sue them, but you can't stop them in advance. Commercial speech is different. If you say something about a competitor's product and it's false, then you can be enjoined from doing that again. This is not commercial speech. It's fraudulent. It's false. These two women did not do anything wrong. But my concern is I know why they aren't asking for more money, because they ain't going to get everything they're entitled to here anyway. Can't get blood out of a turnip. But at the same time, if the court enters this injunction, and it may, then he's going to go out and say it again, in all likelihood. The court can then bring him in and hold him in contempt, possibly even criminal contempt, and put him in jail. But to do that for speech that's not commercial speech is very, very uncharted waters. And I'll tell you something. I think that ultimately I would say that it's very, very likely that the Supreme Court, even the tarantulas, will say, well, or maybe especially the tarantulas, will say, if it's commercial speech, fine. But if it's religious, political, or other kinds of speech, or your opinion on anything, on UFOs, you know, whatever, you can't have prior restraint. So stand by. It may be that he's getting the point, and that if he is, if they do put guardrails around his assets so he can't do something sneaky and illegal about him, that may hurt him more than anything. I'll tell you, the level of deception, quite frankly, in Trump's circle, and I put Giuliani in Trump's circle. He's very much in his circle. Give you another couple of examples. Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, has endorsed DeSantis. Iowa caucuses are coming up. She turns on her TV and there's a Trump commercial implying that she endorsed him. And what it does is it juxtaposes some things she said about him that were favorable years ago. She immediately goes after him and attacks him and said, that's a sneaky deal. But the problem is Trump will tell her to pound sand, bringing a defamation action, or a libel action, I should say, or a damages action for a deceptive TV ad when it has to do with politics is usually isn't successful. I'll give you an example. 1968, Bronson La Follette was running for Attorney General of Wisconsin, and there's a fellow running against him in the primary, and Bronson La Follette's people put out word that the guy was really Republican running the Democratic primary. The guy lost to Bronson, sued Bronson for libel. Goes up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's a famous case. Wisconsin Supreme Court said, it's not libel to accuse somebody of being a Republican. He may not be a Republican, but the definition of libel is you say something that tends to reduce you in the esteem of the community. Usually, you know, you have a disease, you have a criminal conviction, something like that. Saying that you're in the wrong party, or in this case, saying that somebody endorsed somebody, we don't want to get into that. So I do not think that Kim Reynolds will be successful if she tries to do anything. But the fact of the matter is, it is having an impact in Iowa, and this is an example of his inveterate sneakiness. Inveterate sneakiness. Okay, coming up, Chesbro, my man. No, he's not my man. Bad man Chesbro was in Nevada with details of his cooperation. We assume he's giving it to Josh Call. It makes it much more, I hope, likely that there is a prosecution of fake electors in Wisconsin coming up.
The Buzz. Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a pickle-ectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Come on!
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some very interesting information just in from Nevada. Ken Chesbro has gone around the country prostituting himself, ratting on everybody to keep himself out of jail. Kept himself out of jail down in Georgia by giving information. Well, in Nevada, he just came in and they have a transcript of what he told them. This is information I hadn't known before, and presumably he's sharing it with Josh Call, which will make prosecution easier in Wisconsin. He said that he sent the state GOP in Nevada, and that also he sent in Michigan, New Mexico, Arizona, and Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, a step-by-step explanation of what they should do and how they should do it to sign fake electors. In other words, he did a how to do it course. And certificates of falsely stating that they're Trump electors, that he would do it for each state. He was sort of like, he's giving them a form to fill in. He did that in Wisconsin. That's an exhibit that will be of immense value in a prosecution. And you also have Andrew Hitt, the former GOP chairman here, who just said that Trump lied to him. But Trump's being prosecuted in Georgia. He can be prosecuted here too. You put them both on the stand, which one of you is lying? Here you have a dynamite exhibit, and then you have some dynamite witnesses who contradict each other. Go to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, this is aside in response to what you were just talking about, but I find it amazing that a lawyer like Andrew Kidd is complaining that, Trump lied to me. I mean, come on, is your head in the sand? No, it feels like he's trying to cover himself. That's what it feels like to me, ahead of I don't know what, but it feels like he's trying to cover himself. The reason why I was calling, Matt, was to, I so appreciate the show because you do raise the flag to sort of say, look around us and see what is happening around us. I am very concerned about this missing binder. When they say a binder, it makes it sound like a very thing, but this binder was apparently over 2,000 pages, 10 inches tall, if you will, filled with evidence, information they think that has to do with Russian interference with the election, Trump's first election. And it just, I look at this, Matt, and I just think, they're just getting ready for round two. I mean, this upcoming election is extremely vital to what happens to Putin and his plans in Europe, particularly with Ukraine, and then on to who knows what in terms of what his ultimate plans are. Who knows? Reclaiming the Baltic states? I don't know. I feel like there's still a whole lot that needs to get figured out about what happened with that binder and what's ahead with the election, because we're not that far off, and the two candidates are very clear. So there's plenty of time for Russia to prepare to do as they wish. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a very, very astute observation. The binder that we're talking about, we talked about the other day, And that was one where Trump wanted to release a binder to favorable media, Fox News and people like that, and to very right-wing Republican congressmen who would carry his water in Congress. And so the FBI redacted it, and he had the redacted copies. But then he said, oh, by the way, I want the original. I just want the original. You know, I get restless at night. I want to read it over. So they sent him the original. The original disappeared. He took it with him. You know, he wasn't searched as he left the White House, because when he left the White House, he was the president. Say it was 8 o'clock that morning. Joe Biden was coming in at noon, and then it switched over. So he commandeered Air Force One because he could. He was the president even at 8 in the morning. Flew to Mar-a-Lago with a whole bunch of documents, classified documents. He just swept them into boxes. One of them, there's no doubt in my mind, was the binder. Now, Joe, I have a question, and I cannot absolutely believe it if the answer is no. Didn't anybody like the FBI keep a copy of the original? The whole original? You know, I don't care who it is, like in litigation, if somebody says, I want the original binder of any kind of, especially say a patent case with a formula or something like that. Are you really going to send it to him, even if they're authorized? You know, bad things happen, accidents happen. If they have redacted copies, I'm wondering if somebody does not have the original. But if they don't, you're absolutely right. What Joe is saying is that it showed the complete range of information that the FBI had in their search, in their investigation of Russian collusion in the election, and also Russian influence over Trump. And they looked into the Steele report. They looked into a lot of things. And we have sources in our CIA and the FBI that British intelligence doesn't have. And that would be a fascinating, fascinating document. And right now it should be under the direction and control of Joe Biden in the government, but it wasn't. It isn't, because it was taken. The original was taken. Trump took it. The documents that he stole were really so substantial in their impact. I mentioned before that there's an article in New York Times that in the year following, so Trump leaves in January of 2021, Biden comes in, there were a statistically inordinate number of our secret agents in Russia, China, and elsewhere who were outed, captured, and killed. Interrogated, outed, captured, and killed. The CIA sent what they call station memos to all the CIA stations in the world, saying you've got to be a lot more circumspect about guarding identities information. And the thing that most people don't understand is that you don't have to have a list of the undercover agents. All you have to have is the information that we have. They can reverse engineer it. There are very, very few people in their governments that had access to that or could have taken it. And they will screen out the ones that they know are loyal, and then there'll be somebody else. He gets captured and interrogated. That's what happened. Trump did it, in my judgment, to monetize it, maybe to appease Putin, appease creditors in the Russian mafia, just in general to cause havoc. Remember, he's the guy that would not let his cabinet cooperate with Biden's incoming cabinet, so there was no meetings of defense and state and treasury trying to coordinate things. Well, coming to the end of the show, great show coming up. Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. Great callers today. Thank you for calling. Matt Flynn Direct, back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.